I was just thinking that we as a church family meet together for regular services approximately 156 times a year, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's not talking about special weeks like this week. But of all those services, in my estimation, this is the most important service that Open Door has every single year. Because the focus of this morning is on our support, yes, financial support, for worldwide evangelization. Over 40 years ago, God called me specifically to teach His Word. And I've endeavored to be faithful to that. But I confess to you, if there is an area that I am personally guilty of, it's not teaching enough on giving. And any of you that have been around know that to be true. We cover it thoroughly in our new members class. But understanding our culture and how averse people are to giving, I try to stay away from it, even to the point of excess. And that's not right. But this morning, folks, shamefacedly, we talk about financial support of missionaries. Because as Dr. Burge said many times in this pulpit, the support of missionaries is the most selfless giving that a person can be involved in. He would say, you are sitting on your tithe this morning. You are enjoying a controlled climate this morning as a result of your tithing. You've got lights to read your Bible because of your tithe. But 100% of what we're making a faith commitment to give to this morning has nothing to do with us in this life. We are giving it all away. We are sending it all away where the lost of the world might hear the gospel preached. Oh, I fully believe we will be rewarded for it in eternity. But now we do it by faith. We are richly blessed in this country . We have the means right now in our possessions to become involved in faith promise giving. But Jesus taught us a principle. It's a law that governs the kingdom. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart follows your treasure. The reason people are excited about missions at Open Door is because they've got money in the game and their heart is just following their treasure, like Jesus said it would. So as you listen this morning to Brother Brian Listen well, because you have the opportunity to become involved in something that is not only eternal for those that are on the receiving end, it is can be life-changing for you. No one ever gets involved in faith promise without them having the testimony. It has been life-changing. There is nothing that you could be involved in that is any more important. Listen, it's great and necessary for the church to be involved in humanitarian needs. Feeding, educating people. But the greatest need the world has is of the gospel. And that's what today is all about. Brother Brian has been a blessing. I hope you understand that nobody stands in this place this morning without it being intentional, premeditated on my part. And as soon as I had the opportunity to meet the Thiessens in Germany, my wheels were already turning, thinking about Brother Brian would be a good fit at Open Door. People would respond to him well. And I thank God. I am convinced that it is God's will, has been God's will for him to be here this week. I think the Lord has showed up, and you know it has been God's will for him to be here. And I'm just excited about having the opportunity to hear him one more time. Brother Carl speaking tonight, so this is the last opportunity that you have to hear him till the next time. So listen well. Brother Brian.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. Thank you, church family here at Open Door. And my goodness, a week of missions conference goes by so quick, and it just leaves your head spinning. Can we possibly be already at the concluding day of this wonderful conference? But it's true. And I'm humbled to have the opportunity to be here with you. And please understand this. Anyone that serves as a missionary, serves vocationally as a pastor, evangelist, we understand that we could not do what we do apart from the sacrificial giving and investment of God's people. And we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. When we talk about this matter of faith promise giving, and I believe, Pastor, everyone has received one of these cards. Not yet. That'll come later. All right? But you will receive a faith promise for worldwide missions. It's a commitment card. There's two sections to it. One that you'll fill out and drop in the offering plate with your commitment. The other is just a reminder for yourself. But it says, in dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offerings each week for 1 year for the worldwide missionary work of our church, the amount checked in the column to the right. Now, many of you that are longtime members here at Open Door, you're very familiar with this, but don't let your familiarity with it keep your heart from launching out maybe to a new level of faith in your giving. And if you're a newcomer, or this whole idea of grace giving, faith promise, is new to you, I want you especially to tune in this morning to the message. And I believe there'll be some scriptures and some principles that really will help you as you contemplate what God would have you to do. Really, in a way, this is a church business meeting. And your faith promise commitment is your vote on what Open Door Baptist Church should do for world evangelization in the year to come. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And as you're turning there, just one more word of appreciation to the church family, I believe is in order. We've been blessed in so many ways. And I just wanted to highlight the special music, the specials, the choir this morning, the instrumentals. Everything has been so carefully selected and chosen, and it's been presented in such a spirit-filled way that it's spoken to our hearts and really is an invaluable component of this conference. It would not be the same without the music. And so I want to thank all of our musicians and those that sang and prepared that. And Brother George, orchestrating all of that. I appreciate your spirit and your leadership in that area. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's bow for a word of prayer, ask the Lord's blessing on his word and our time and fellowship around these matters this morning. Lord, we're thankful, so thankful indeed, Lord, for the blessings that we've enjoyed during this conference, for the fellowship together, for the common purpose that this church has gathered itself nightly. And then again here on Sunday, and not concluding until the wonderful banquet and a concluding message this evening. Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that we have received through Jesus Christ, who died, gave his life for us, shed his blood for us, paid for our sins. Lord, and we've been saved for a reason. We've been saved and set apart. That gospel message, the same that by which we were saved, can be shared around the world with precious men and women, boys and girls, young people. Lord, until you return, that's our purpose. That is why we do what we do. And so I pray you just take your word, speak to our hearts this morning, and Lord, help us to, if we have not already, to nail down, Lord, what it is you want us to do, how you want us to partner financially, what kind of investment that you would have us to make by faith. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is faith promise giving? We use the terminology faith promise, interestingly enough, and I did mention this the other night, but there is a Canadian connection to that terminology. It was first coined by Oswald J. Smith, who was then pastor of People's Church in Toronto in the middle of the 20th century. Faith promise giving. We also use the designation grace giving. And we'll talk about really both aspects of this, because there's a lot of faith involved and there's a lot of grace involved in this kind of giving. We could say that faith promise is a faith venture that we partner with missionaries concerning. So in other words, when we hear about making this faith promise commitment, we can have the attitude, well, you know what, I'm required to have faith, and you know, then the missionary just gets everything. I want you to understand something. It's a faith partnership. We fully and rightfully expect our missionaries to exercise faith. And I can tell you, from hanging around missionaries a long time, that they exercise a lot of faith. Do you know, they step out to answer God's call without any guarantees of human support, without any promise from men that all their needs are going to be met. They strike out by faith, believing that God has called them, and where God guides, He provides. Some of them leave careers to do so. They leave good paying jobs. They take incredible cuts to their weekly or monthly income. I'm talking about 50%, 75%, 80% pay cuts. Would you be willing to do that, to take the gospel around the world? That's what we expect and believe our missionaries are willing to do, and that's a great thing. But that faith venture should not only be on their part. It's on our part as well. And through giving is one of the ways that we exercise that faith. Faith promise giving is simply God funding His program in His churches through His people. What's God's program? It's world evangelization. Jesus gave that great commission five times over. It's recorded in the scriptures, once in each of the gospels, and then again in Acts chapter 1. The local church, as I explained the other night, is to be, every local church, your local church, is to be a home base for world evangelization. Individual members, because that's how the church is constituted. It's not a building. It's an assembly of individual believers that God has called out, called together to worship and serve the Lord and to actively participate in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Individual members that make up that church, recognizing their personal responsibility and seeking God's direction, make a promise of weekly giving by faith, trusting God, just like the missionary, that He will supply their needs. The church then makes a promise of regular support to missionaries also by faith, because there are no names on these cards. You'll see that. This is just a promise that's made between the individual and the Lord. And based on faith promise commitments that come in, the church then steps out by faith and says, we're going to support our missionaries, believing that God will supply that need. Now, someone also said that faith promise missions is money that God gives through you that He would not give to you unless He knew that you were going to give it to missions. Money that God gives through you that He would not give to you unless He knew that you were going to give it to missions. Now, we read a text, and there's a couple of chapters there in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9, where we have a wonderful example of faith promise or grace giving. Let me just give you a brief synopsis of that, and I want to draw a few principles from this. So, all of this giving by grace that's talked about here began with a very specific need at the church in Jerusalem. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 11. And the church in Antioch, being a generous church, they determined that they were going to send relief to the suffering church in Jerusalem. And by faith, they took up an offering and they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul to Jerusalem. Since that time, the Apostle Paul had been to the city of Corinth and had received also a promise of an offering there that would be given to help the Jerusalem saints. And as we read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, almost a year had expired since those in Corinth had made their promise. You notice in verse 10 that we read, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And so Paul had been in Corinth, had received a wonderful promise of an offering that the Corinthian church was going to endeavor to give by faith. Now Paul had been in Macedonia. Churches like Philippi, Thessalonica. Churches, quite frankly, that did not have the material resources that the church in Corinth did. But as he traveled in Macedonia, he shared, he says he boasted of the great promise and the willingness of the Corinthian church. And it so inspired these Macedonian believers that in spite of their affliction, in spite of their poverty, they said, we want to partner in that endeavor. We want to give. It's really an amazing thing. And now he's writing back to the church in Corinth, telling them how their example had provoked the Macedonians to give sacrificially. And he says, you know, you've made the promise, that's wonderful. It's now time to spring into action. It's now time to get on board. And from the Macedonian testimony, the churches here had such faith. We learn principles that apply to our giving today. And there's several things I want us to note as we go through this. Number one, it is a voluntary offering. This is not the tithe. The tithe has been commanded. This is over and above the tithe. As your pastor rightly pointed out, the tithe goes to the general needs of the church. To pay its staff, to flip the lights on Sunday morning, to pay the air conditioning and so forth, to conduct ministry in your Jerusalem. That's what the tithe is for. But over and above that is an offering that we give by grace. It's a faith promise that we make to worldwide evangelization. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a, notice this, a willing mind is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you just flip to the next chapter there. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The beautiful thing about faith promise is no one's making you give this. God himself does not want you to give against your will. This is something that should spring voluntarily from a joyful and glad and grateful heart that recognizes the tremendous need of evangelizing our world in this 21st century and not saying, oh, I have to give. But, oh boy, I get to give. I get to be involved in God's promise, or God's program, through faith and by His grace. I get to have a part in this. And it ought to be something, when you fill out that faith promise card, that you can do willingly and joyfully and say, oh my goodness, the Lord's allowed me to have a part. How blessed I am. And it begins with our consecration. The consecration of oneself to God. In the earlier verses that we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll notice, come down to verse 4, where Paul had already testified that these Macedonian believers gave to their power, they gave beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And notice in verse 4, he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I think Paul was almost a little ashamed to receive funds, to receive material assistance from these Macedonian churches, knowing that they themselves were suffering. And that's what's indicated in verse 4 when it says they were praying us with much entreaty. They were literally begging Paul for the opportunity to get involved. They began to realize that the blessing of God was resting upon such an endeavor. And they said, oh, Paul, you have to let us get involved. We want to be a part of this. And then in verse 5, it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It begins with giving yourself. You know, if God has your heart, then He has everything else that's in your life. If God's got your heart, then He's got your wallet. Amen? He's got your investment accounts. He's got it all. And really, that should be our attitude. Lord, I'm giving myself to You. That means everything else that I possess, everything that I am, my talents, it's all connected to that. It all belongs to You. I wouldn't have a thing if You hadn't blessed me with it. So, Lord, I'm giving myself to You, and You just direct me how that I should use my talents. How that I should invest my resources. Now, of course, there's responsibilities we have within those things. To care for our families. To provide for our needs, for our children. And so forth. And that's all vital and important. We're not talking about recklessness this morning. There's a fine line, someone said, between faith and foolishness. So we recognize our God-given responsibilities. We take care of those. We address those. And then as God blesses us, we're able to do so much more than we ever thought possible. Giving by faith is a grace bestowed upon the believer by God. Now, if you follow with me from the beginning of chapter 8 on into chapter 9, I just want to highlight real quickly for you, and you might want to circle the occurrences of every time that grace is mentioned. Beginning in chapter 8 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Come down to verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse number 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. And then over to chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Faith promise giving, however extravagant it might be, however impossible it might seem, is never a work of your or my flesh. It's not necessarily supposed to make sense. It's not something that we say, well, you know what? There I go, you know what, and I've determined to do that, I'm going to do that. It is something that is a fruit of the work of God's grace in and through your life. And it's a wonderful thing. And God, by the way, is able to make that grace abound towards the cheerful giver. This sort of giving tests our sincerity in at least three ways. Giving tests the sincerity of our love, first of all. Verse number 8 of chapter 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, it's possible to give without loving. It's true, and it's sad many times. Parents and lovers assume that they can buy the love of another through extravagant giving. And they give in place of loving. But you know, it's not possible to love without giving. It's not possible. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? And it's so true. It's so true. What a blessing it is to have a part in worldwide evangelism through our faith promise commitments. Giving tests the sincerity not only of our love, but even of our profession. Look at chapter 9 and verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. It's one thing to profess that we believe the gospel. Profess that we believe this is the answer for the world. It's another thing to put our money where our mouth is. It's another thing to say, you know what? I'm going to put some skin in the game. I'm going to make a substantial investment in this. Because it's not just something that I speak. This is what I believe to the very core, the very fiber of my being. Giving tests the sincerity of our love and of our profession, and it tests the sincerity of our faith. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 again. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's the principle or the law of sowing and reaping. You know, God is not a debtor to any man or woman. God so wonderfully takes care of our needs. Now, there's always some risk involved in faith. Are you with me? But it's a risk that's based on the very promises of God's Word, biblical faith. To say, I'm going to just step out and trust God. Faith is beginning something, commencing something that only God can complete. Do we believe that God's able to meet our needs? Absolutely, He is. Maybe there should have been a few more amens in that. God's able to meet our needs. You know, and it's one thing to stress, we've got to trust God. This is a grace, not that we work up within ourselves, but that God works in our heart. But I want to encourage you this morning in several ways how that God does meet our needs. And if you really believe God this morning, if you believe God is who He said He is, which is what? So many things, right? But Creator, Sustainer, He's a provider. God knows all about us. He knows our needs. God not only knows, He cares. Do you know that? He cares. And if we, how many times, listen, just a little bit of a sidetrack of a thought came to me, but you know, how many times have you foolishly spent your substance and yet God is still taking care of you? You don't have to raise your hands. But I think we all know that's true. How much less do you think, or how much more do you think, that God, when He sees His children investing in His program, is going to take care of their needs? And I want us to flip over to another passage, Philippians chapter 4. We talked about from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, this principle of faith promise, grace giving, as exemplified through these Macedonian believers who gave out of great poverty, who gave out of great want, gave themselves first, and how we ought to do the same. But I want us to consider from Philippians chapter 4 a few thoughts about God's supply for us. And hopefully this will help you to understand, yes, I'll step out by faith, but you know what? God's not going to leave me hanging in thin air. God's not going to fail to take care of me. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading down in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And remember, this is one of the Macedonian churches. And Paul is saying, as I went on my missionary trips, as I continued on my missionary endeavors, you are the only church that communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. This is mission support, absolutely. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. In other words, it wasn't a one-time gift. This was a regular, ongoing material support for Paul. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And thus the eternal reward that Pastor spoke of. There's going to be fruit to your account in heaven. souls that are saved around the world through the missionary, ongoing missionary program of Open Door Baptist Church. That's a wonderful thing. But then Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." But notice this, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We often quote that promise in isolation. And there is a general sense, a general way in which that is true. But in the context, it has to do with sacrificial missionary giving. And Paul is saying, look, you have given sacrificially to meet the needs of this gospel ministry. And I want to assure you that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do we have the faith to believe that this morning? Listen, we talk about missionaries going out by faith. They believe it. They wouldn't be going if they didn't believe it. And I have learned over the years something about God's supply through missions. We have supporting churches and sometimes individuals that support us. And sometimes for whatever reason, some of that support is lost. In fact, let me share this with you. In February, I left for British Columbia. And I was in several new churches there. And the day I left, I was on the plane at Toronto Pearson Airport. And I got a text message from one of our supporters to say, unfortunately, we're going to have to drop your support. And that was $300 a month. And, you know, I suppose going back years, I would really be distraught, disturbed over that. But on that day, as I sat on the tarmac at Pearson International Airport, my heart was filled with such joy and expectation. And I said, God, I can't wait to see how you're going to make that up. Because I have learned that God has a million ways to take care of his servants. I don't need to doubt it for a heartbeat. And I stand before you this morning to let you know in several different ways, God has already made up not only that $300 per month, but then some. He's so good. You know, here's how it is. We receive from God, and we think it really does belong to us. Are you with me? I took my son out to McDonald's when he was 5 years old. And remember, you know, just father and son time, McDonald's. We were there for lunch. And as we sat there, my boy sat there enjoying his McDonald's French fries. And I looked up at him and I thought I'd give him a test. And I said, son, would you share those French fries of yours with Dad? And immediately, that little five-year-old boy, he did this. He put his arms around those fries and gathered them in a little closer to him. And I looked at him for a moment, and then I said, now, son, I said, where do you suppose those French fries came from? I said, who purchased those French fries to begin with? And his eye, you could see the wheels turning in his head. And I said, do you suppose that whoever bought those French fries in the first place would be able to replenish them? Would be able to purchase more for you? And he could see the wheels turning again. He thought for a minute. And then he pushed those French fries my way. And I did. I bought him some more French fries. That's a simple illustration, but you know what, folks? We're just like that five-year-old kid. God, these are my fries. God, these are my resources. God says, wait a minute. Don't you understand how much I love you? Don't you understand where all that came from to begin with? Don't you understand my resources, what I'm able to do for you? And you're going to hold on to all that? How childish, how spiritually immature we are to do so. What a great God we have. I want to encourage you that God will supply your need. Now, it may not always be in the way that we think it ought to be. It may not always be at the time that we think it ought to be. But God's provision is always enough, and it's always right on time. According to this verse, it's a comprehensive supply. My God shall supply all your need. Not your greed, but your need. You know, as missionaries, we've been involved in Faith Promise, and I recall a number of years ago, I needed a parka. It's not something you need here in Florida. But I needed a good winter parka. And I'd been praying about that. And, you know, I saw the price of these things. And yeah, just way up there. One afternoon at a thrift store, I happened to see, and it's Billabong, Australian made, snowboarder's jacket. Really nice parka. I mean, just beautiful. Looked like it had never been worn. It was sitting there on the rack at the thrift store. And so I picked that up and I went to the till and they said, sir, are you 55 or older? Well, I was just spot on 55 at the time. And they said, well, this is your lucky day because you get a senior's discount on that. I think the tag was $13 and again it for under 10. I went on Amazon.com the day after, and that jacket retails for $400. I said, wow, you know, God supplies our need in some pretty amazing ways, doesn't He? He knows what we need. And I cannot be ever in any situation at any time in my life where God does not know my need and where God will not supply my need. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God's supply is comprehensive. It's copious. That means it's abundant and plentiful. It's according to the riches in His glory. Aren't you glad it's not according to your brother's riches? It's not according to the riches of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. They say Bill Gates could feed the entire world for 1 month, 8 billion people. I don't know, a couple of meals anyway a day. All his riches would be gone. But that's a lot. But that's it. And God said, it's not according to those kind of riches. But His riches in glory. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the wealth in every mine. The gospel writer said, wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. They are my Father's, so they're mine as well. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that He will care for me. His riches are not only material or financial. You know, His riches are emotional and intellectual and relational. And God just wants to pour so much blessing into your life, you can't even comprehend it today. This is not name it and claim it stuff, all right? This is not some hokey pie in the sky thing. This is not give to get. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'll ask God and then we'll stuff it in our pockets, right? This is, we give to get in order to give again. And that's how it works. We receive and we distribute it. We receive and we distribute it. God sees He can trust us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God's supply for us as we get involved in this is comprehensive. It's copious. God's able to open up the windows of heaven for you, for me. but it's also Christological. What do I mean by that? Let's read that verse again, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And here I'm going to close on this note and strike my final blow with the hammer on this nail by saying that Jesus Christ is the greatest evidence of God's supply for us. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Here it is, folks. If you're saved this morning and you're in doubt that God will take care of you as you step out by faith on this wonderful missionary venture, do you not realize that He already died for you? There's no greater gift, no greater sacrifice, no greater supply than that which has already been given. When that truth struck home to my heart, I felt really foolish in doubting God for my daily needs and not trusting Him to care for the support that I need, for the resources that I need, for the intellectual or emotional capital that I require to do my ministry. How could I ever doubt God for those things? God says, Son, I gave you my Son. Oh, child, I gave you Jesus. How would you ever not believe that I'm going to take care of you? Now, speaking from a strictly human perspective, we might all say something along these lines. I would gladly give all my earthly resources, all my money, my house, my cars, I give it all away to a neighbor, a friend in need, before I would ever give the life of a son or daughter of mine. Right? Put that in perspective. Jesus said, I gave you my Son. I gave you my Son. The certainty of His supply. He asks us to step out by faith. He asks us to respond as God's grace enables us. He wants us to willingly give of ourselves. Listen, there is no telling what God could do through Open Door Baptist Church if every one of us embraced those principles to their fullest. I hope you have a spirit of gratitude for what God's done for you already, and a spirit of expectancy for what He'll do for you in the future. And let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for just a few moments, a brief opportunity only, Lord, to share principles regarding faith and our giving and our partnership in this matter of world evangelization. Lord, I trust You to have taken these thoughts where human tongues fail, Your Holy Spirit always picks up, and is able to work these truths in our into our innermost being. And I pray today, Lord, you will bless this church family. And Father, if there's any today that do not know Christ as Savior, this has not been one of those messages primarily aimed at those who do not know Christ. Perhaps there's someone here, and I pray that they would seek out help, even today, understanding that Jesus gave His life for them, that they might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Lord, I pray now that for each believer, each member of this church, as we have prayed and seek Your direction concerning our faith promise, that, Lord, You'd use this concluding time, Lord, to seal those decisions in our heart. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now we're gonna go ahead, and we have our ushers with the faith promise cards. If we could get those distributed. And we want to put one of these in every hand. So just, if you do not have a faith promise commitment card, just hold your hand up wherever that you are. We'll just wait till everyone has received one. We'll look at these together. We want to go through this together. Okay, is there anyone still missing a faith promise card? There in the back, there's a few. And up here, okay, right up here, gentlemen, to my right, near the front, there's a couple of cards needed.
We'd like our visitors to have them just to look at.
Right. Even if you're a visitor, you grab a hold of one. That's good. Amen. Everyone. All right. All right. Now, let's read that again. My faith promise for worldwide missions over on the left. It says, in dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offerings each week for 1 year for the worldwide missionary work of our church, that's Open Door Baptist Church. The amount checked in the column to the right. So, several things about this. This is a promise between you and the Lord. There's no space on here to put your name. This is entirely between you and the Lord. It's a one-year commitment. It's a one-year commitment. You're not signing off for the rest of your life, just for the next year. And there is, if you look over to the right, and there's a perforation mark down the middle. So once this is all filled out, you're going to fold that in half along the perforation mark. You're going to tear it in half. One section will go in the offering plate. The other is yours to keep as a reminder of what was promised. So there's a number of pre-filled check boxes there from $1, $2, $3, $5, all the way up through $100. So, you know, this is not about how much you give, but about how much you're trusting God for. All right? This is not so that I saw back in the 70s, some ministries, you know, if you give $1,000, you get your name on a brick. If you give $10,000, it'll be on a gold brick. You know, there's none of that. This is between you and the Lord. And you give as God directs and as you're able. And so you're going to check an amount. Perhaps the amount God's laid on your heart is not there. Maybe it's over $100. Well, then you can write it in up there where it says other. Maybe you need to add a zero to one of those numbers on there. I don't know. Whatever that God leads you. We also ask that you check off adult, teenager. I don't think there's any 12 or under in the service, but you check off your age bracket, and then you write in on the other side the weekly amount promised. Now, there's a good verse there, too, John 4, where Jesus had previously reached the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, and then that woman came back bringing men from Samaria with her to meet Jesus. And the Lord spoke to his disciples as those white-robed Samaritans were approaching, and he said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." That's what you're doing through your faith promise. You're investing in those that go to the fields, those that are on the harvest field, those that are on the front lines. And you're investing in something where you aren't necessarily directly laboring, but you're rejoicing together in the harvest of souls that comes in. All right, so you go ahead and take a moment now and fill those out. Now, let me say this. If you are still undecided, or maybe you're just wrestling with, what does God want me to do? It's not necessary you fill it out this morning. You can fill it out and bring it another time and turn that in. We want you to have peace that this is what God wants you to do, that God's clearly directing and you're just trusting Him to meet your needs. All right, so take a moment, fill those in, and then we'll tear them apart, and then we'll ask our ushers to come again to retrieve those. Pastor, is there anything you need to add? All right. All right, so ushers, you come. And can we have a pianist come again and maybe play for us as these are taken up this morning? Let's just have another word of prayer, shall we, before we receive these. Father, you know each heart. And Lord, you know each situation. And Lord, I pray that in every heart that fills out a card, Lord, that you've done a work already and that we have given ourselves to you. We are trusting you. We are entering into this faith partnership with missionaries that serve all around the world. And we are expecting you to do great things through our investment on the mission field. We're also trusting and believing that you will meet our needs. And that, Lord, there will be eternal fruit as a result of this. And so we pray you bless each commitment and those making their commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.